Where's everybody? We've lost our people. There's one.
I don't want to.
I'm glad that wasn't Mr. Chair. I didn't know we had a Whoopi Goosher.
There is one. There's one chair. I don't know how it got it up here. But
we need to push that one over to Larry. That was great. Okay. Lori and Betty, good morning. Glad you're here for to help us with the budget amendment and appropriations.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board. First thing up, I have three things in a row here, and the first one is the budget amendment for the fiscal year 12 budget. Virginia Code requires the county to hold a public hearing before amending its budget if the total amount of the funds appropriated exceed 1% of the expenditures in the currently adopted budget. The total of the appropriation for fiscal year 12 totals $22 million, and it consists of 22 appropriations. 18 of these you've already approved in May and June. The additional four requests for your considerations are in Attachment A. The primary reason we'll be amending the fiscal year 12 budget at this time is administrative in nature, and it has to do with the $18.6 million in bond proceeds for the CIP that were associated with the restructuring and refinancing that you've previously approved. And it's basically to get those funds in the right places in the budget and align the revenues with expenditures for that item. There are some other minor amendments or appropriations included as well. Today's staff requests that after the public hearing that you approve this budget amendment as well as the additional appropriations in Attachment A. Thank you.
Thank you. So does anyone have questions? This is for Attachment A is our main focus right now for questions for you. Anybody have questions for Lori on Attachment A? Lots of school things and then the CIP. Good. All right, I will open the public hearing. And is there anyone in the audience who would like to address us on the budget amendment and appropriations for this section? I see nobody, so I will close the public hearing. And the matter is before the board.
I move approval of the FY 2012 budget amendment in the associated appropriations.
Second.
Mr. Boyd?
Yes.
Tumbler?
Yes.
Alec?
Yes.
Mr. Rooker?
Yes.
Mr. Snow?
Yes.
Mr. Thomas?
Yes.
All right, then the next one is our budget slash finance operations improvements discussion.
Okay, thank you. Today, Betty Burrell and I will be presenting three budget and financial process improvements for your consideration. Our purpose, the driver of our efforts, is to continuously evaluate and improve our county's budgetary and financial processes to become more efficient and make better use of our limited staff time. We want to ensure staff is adequately available to remain focused on the high-level budgetary and financial management and analysis. All the while, we strive to ensure and improve our transparency and ensure that there's appropriate budgetary controls in place for a AAA-rated county such as ourselves. As I begin our presentation, I do want to recognize Josh Davis. He wasn't able to be here today. He did work closely with us on this from the school perspective. They did work with us on the draft executive summary. I also would like to thank my staff for all their work and specifically recognize Neil Branch, who is our volunteer from UVA this summer. He's a government major and a double major with the Batten School. And he did a lot of work on this, and I do want to recognize him. He's over there with the staff in the corner.
Thank you, Neil.
Thank you.
Thanks, too, to the legal department and county executive's office and our co-work with the finance department. There was a lot of people that studied these recommendations and had a lot of good insights and thoughts on it, and so I do recognize all the help. It's always a multiple department effort when we look at items such as this. We have three items in front of you. Just basically, the other piece of the background is that we've been working together, the school division and OMB and finance, really closely on the AA Access Albemarle project, the five-year financial planning. We continue to work closely as a team on that. our annual budget development, and then we are working on these process improvements. And in fact, as part of the strategic plan, there's a specific strategy that we're recommending of the three of us, there are three parts of us, to continue to work very closely together to improve our budgetary and finance practices for the county. So I'm looking forward to that. The three recommendations are in front of you today. Betty's going to start with the first one, which is multi-year CIP budgeting.
Morning, Madam Chairman, members of the Board of Supervisors. The first is to implement improvements to CIP reappropriation process beginning with fiscal 14, the upcoming budget. And the current process is that reappropriation requests are submitted to the board for ongoing capital projects. And in fiscal 12, OMB submitted 132 individual capital reappropriations for the board's consideration and approval. And frequently, the board reappropriates funding to the same project twice within a few months. The recommended improvements would be for the board to direct staff to create a multi-year budget for CIP projects beginning, as I stated, with 14, that there would be a carry forward until expended or deobligated of those unexpended funds. And this would be reflected in the budget resolution and clearly defined that that annual appropriation would include all unspent and unencumbered appropriations would be allocated for the future expenditures related to the projects as approved by the board. And in reviewing the generally accepted accounting principles, there are a couple of things in GAAP, which is generally accepted accounting principles, that state that budgets for capital project funds differ from budgets for other funds because capital projects generally span more than 1 year. Therefore, governments are likely to adopt budgets on a multi-year basis rather than having annual appropriations for all capital projects. These multi-year project budgets may or may not be subject to approval by the legislator, but we are recommending that you do as part of the annual budget adoption. GAAP also talks about the difference between the basis of accounting for financial reporting and the basis for budgetary controls and budgetary adoption. So the benefits of moving toward this multi-year budgeting for capital is it improves transparency. The annual incremental adjustments can be confusing, and they don't reflect the total expenditures related to the specific projects. The CIP projects with clearly identified sources and uses, as we present to our credit rating analysts, it's easier if we have those projects outlined in a way that make it very clear what we're asking for with respect to funding and how we plan on paying for those projects.
On a year-by-year basis.
On a year-by-year basis, yes. There would be no starts and stops of actual capital project construction or work based solely on a fiscal year, because projects don't generally start in July and end on June 30. And staff would continue to closely manage and monitor the CIP, and the ultimate control of the financing and funding of these projects would continue to be held by the Board of Supervisors.
So at this point, I'll stop. This is the first of our three process improvements to see if you have any questions or suggestions.
The continued use of the word unencumbered throughout the language that you have here is the part that's bothering me, because how would the system that you're proposing have dealt with the postponement that we did with the Crozet Library as an example? That's just one where it was out there, it was unencumbered, the money was in the CIP. We decided we couldn't afford it when we originally planned it. We put it off, we postponed it. Under this process, are you saying that would always stay out there, would never come back for discussion, or only on an annual basis? Because it really bothers me an awful lot that we've made other decisions regarding CIP to shift dollars around mid-year, in the middle of year, What happens to all that process? Are you just taking that authority away from this board? And
that would not be my recommendation, no, sir. You would, at least on an annual basis, deobligate any projects that you no longer wish to fund, and that deobligation frees those dollars up
through the CIP process. Through the CIP process, what you're talking about?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
There's a difference between projects for which we have appropriated money and projects for which we have it. And I don't think we appropriated money for the Crozet Library until we voted to fund it.
Well, it was in the CIP, and now we're talking about doing away with that appropriation because it'll be a multi-year appropriation. That's what I'm reading.
There's a difference between the budget, I think, and the appropriation, and I think we need to draw a distinction there.
There's the five-year plan money, and then there's the money that we actually have to pay a contract that we've signed. Yeah. And
that's why what was throwing me about unencumbered, because they're saying, okay, it's not an obligation. We haven't started the project. It's unencumbered money. Maybe we had started the project, but it was for landscaping or something like that. I don't know. That's the word that bothers me.
Each year you're going to be appropriating new money towards your CIP. And at that point, the way we think about it as far as improving transparency, you're going to see the whole project planned out. You're going to see what you previously appropriated at that time, what you're adding to it. You'll see something much more complete during your preparation of the whole CIP. So all those decisions can be discussed
I appreciate what you're saying, but you could do that by clarifying the language and the appropriation in the process we have now. I mean, a lot of times all these appropriations we just did, some of the language is very vague as to what that actually is. You could simply clarify that by saying this is the completion of a $10 million project, which you've already expended $5 million on. I mean, that could be through better explanation in our board reports, as opposed to, that to me would be much more transparent for the public too.
There's really, the board will operate no different than you do now in terms of your oversight of capital projects. The single difference will be at the end of every fiscal year and going into the next, you just won't have this huge, big appropriation to reappropriate money you previously appropriated for projects you've approved.
I understand that, but it's also an opportunity for us to be reminded of what's out there and what's there. That we wouldn't see that under this new process.
We're going to get a chart that shows here are all the projects we have, and last year we spent this much, and this year we're spending this much, but we won't have to adopt it again.
The time you see that now is during the CIP process. In December, you get all the proposed projects, and then in April, you appropriate what you want to fund. We can add to the reporting for you all if you want a status, say, at the beginning of the fiscal year of where projects are. That would be a report to you rather than getting it all mixed up in the appropriation process.
Up until this year, I think this is the first year because it was a request the board made, we never readdressed all that pre-appropriations. If it had gone past the time that we had appropriated money for, it was never back on the table again. The one that comes to mind is the YMCA, $2 million, that basically – it wasn't up for discussion again in the CIP because it was a pre-appropriated amount of money.
That's a good example. You did reappropriate that. Each year you've reappropriated that amount of money. So that's always a decision for the board. That doesn't change under what's being proposed. The board still has to appropriate the money. What's changing is the process, which would, instead of identifying item by item in the appropriation resolution, there will be a provision that says all unexpended appropriations that have been previously appropriated would carry forward until the project is completed. So it's just an administrative accommodation. But if the board decided that any specific project you wanted to defund it in a fiscal year, you could do that. But as a matter of course, that would be not presented to the board on the item by item list like it is in today's agenda. In the fiscal year 13 budget amendment that's before you today, there's, you know,
14 pages,
multiple,
or something, yeah,
lists of projects. What this would do at the time you adopt the budget and do the appropriation resolution, it would advance the appropriation for all these projects as being a category of unexpended projects, but doesn't take away any of the board's authority on any specific.
I understand it, but
if you're going to allocate any additional money, appropriate any additional money, it has to come forward as a new appropriation.
Right. The Crozet Library is a good...
What they're talking about is where we've already allocated money, and I think what this does is align financially, would align the county with what is best practices in this area. and save staff time, save board time. And I don't ever remember one of these not being reappropriated because the money, we've already appropriated it.
And if it has and a contract just, on it already, it's going to be completed. We're not going to stop it.
Crozier Library is a really good example. That was in the CIP, but money had not been appropriated until recently. Crozier Library, if it's not completed by next June 30th, what we would do under the current process is we would come back to you and say, we need you to reappropriate funding for the Crozier Library and have a specific line item that says, you know, that needs to be done. Under this proposed process, projects like the Crozier Library that would not be completed by June 30th, you would reappropriate the unexpended amount of money that you appropriated this year in the appropriation resolution for fiscal year 14.
But see, that takes me back to my original question about the use of the word unencumbered, because to me that would be encumbered dollars. We'd started the project, we hired a manager.
He didn't say unencumbered, he said unexpended.
Yeah, some of it may be.
Yeah, but this language through here refers to unencumbered dollars.
We may need to tweak that language, Mr. Boyd, because it really is unexpended money. Some money could be encumbered by a construction contract, but there could also be contingency money or separate money for a project that a contract hasn't been entered into yet that would be separate from the major construction contract. What this allows would be for staff to account for that money to the board, and at the conclusion of the project, then the county executive would report to the board how much money was unspent, and then that would be allocated back to the appropriate fund at that point in time, which would require an action by the board.
On this resolution, says that money would automatically go to the CIP fund balance, the balance of unexpended funds. The other thing I just want to point out is we have improved, to your point, Ken, we have improved the transparency of this on projects previously approved. A couple years ago through the CIP process, we started providing a separate list that says, here's all the other projects out there, what the balance is, what the status is, and we think that's a good improvement. That also helps to bring this out so we can keep track of how these projects have proceeded over time. But again, that's a reporting issue rather than an official reappropriation of money you've already appropriated.
So I don't probably have a problem with streamlining the process by not having to go through the appropriation process. What I'm a little bit leery of is not, you know, I don't spend all my time looking at the CIP and financial issues here. It's only brought to my attention when it shows up on an agenda and I'm reminded of this or that expenditure that we're doing. If we could somehow get a report on that as opposed to making an appropriation process that we have to go through a formal board meeting for. But if we could get a report on those things.
And I think the question is that a report beyond the report we provide to the CIP Oversight Committee that then goes to the board in December?
No, I'm thinking more about, and I know that in some of the later discussions here it talks about showing up on the quarterly financial report, but I really would rather see it in the form of a note, just an email or something to all of us that indicates that we're the following list of items are reappropriated or the following list of items are going to be automatically dealt with, and on a more timely basis than having to wait till the quarter end report for it, because then it gets mixed in with all the other financials that we're dealing with at the time.
Two times now that you would get a full review of that would be during the CIP development and this joint meeting with the school board in December. And the second time that you would see a full accounting of this would be during the budget work session in March on the CIP. We will beef that particular point up before you move in completing the budget process. You'll have a complete report on projects that are, what their current status is, unexpended funds and so forth as a part of the budget review.
Well, would there be, at those times, is it going to be like a list of all the multi-year appropriated funds which are not coming back for reappropriation? I mean, could we have that as a separate category that's clearly identifies?
I think we can do a little bit more than we've done and give you a much more clear picture during the budget process when we do the CIP work session. That'll be something we'll send out to you in advance. So at that point that you're thinking about future CIPs, you can also know where we are with current projects, how much has been expended, how much you've appropriated, how much of that's been expended, and what's left. And that's going to be a pretty good picture, probably, of what's going to automatically carry over into the next year, if you will, based on what we're talking about today.
Hey, so, that's the best time to get that information because we're focusing on the capital improvement plan, you can see how the unexpended part of the projects that are not completed and for which money is yet to be spent fits into that plan. But I think what we're proposing here makes a lot of sense. And again, I'll draw the distinction between old appropriated dollars and new appropriated dollars. This does not allow any new appropriated dollars
without your approval.
Coming to the board.
I understand it, Dennis, but I just don't want to drift back into the case where we were a couple of years ago, where money sort of dropped off the horizon, if you will, because it was approved in prior years. We hadn't done the project yet. And again, I'll go back to the YMCA. I mean, that was sort of off the radar for a number of years until we changed the process and started including that. I don't want this to shift into that same type of thing where things, you know, just linger out there that we don't.
Why has been in that category of reappropriation year by year is that with a pending legal action,
we've
been uncertain every year whether or not the money would be required in that year or might be the following year. So we've been waiting.
I think 2 years ago we made an improvement based on what you're talking about, and we've done this for 2 years now. This is an improvement in our whole process for appropriations, but it also drives us to go that extra mile during the budget work session in March on the CIP to give you a more clear picture, I think, rather than pretending like we're going to wait till we do appropriation and develop this big, long report for you at the end of June, the 1st of July. So I think it's actually another step forward, both in appropriations, but I think also in transparency, because we'll make that a better report at the budget work session in March for you as well.
This will be built all year long, so somewhere there'll be an available screenshot of the projects that'll be updated periodically, but so that anybody could see in July or whenever they wanted to.
Yeah, I do want to emphasize the management of these CIP projects will not change. The work that we do in OMB, the work that OFD does, because they monitor very closely every single project, what's expended, the work that finance does, all of our internal processes will stay the same, especially at year end, because that's when we have to close out books and move things forward, and so we will definitely still be watching everything very closely.
Well, I have a question on the money. But I was not against the Crozet swimming pool, but to find where the money, it had already been appropriated, we had to go into, I'm guessing, 8 different categories to find it. Is this going to condense everything back?
This
so
will,
we have one?
Yes. That's the part of transparency that I believe you're going to see. The way we envision it, and we still are going to work through a lot of these processes to make sure that we do it in the way that we believe will work really well for Albemarle County, but the way we envision it, you will see what's been appropriated on a project from the very beginning, and you can say, well, this project really cost $7 million, but when I looked at it incrementally, we were putting a little in each year, and I didn't really feel the total scope of it. So you will see a total scope on each project, which I think will give you a better understanding of the full impact on projects very quickly and at a glance.
So let me ask you one thing. Can we work with the word unencumbered and maybe replace that with unexpended dollars?
Well, unspent is right before that. So you could, if you just eliminate it in unencumbered, I'm not sure what unencumbered.
It makes you feel nervous because you don't know what it means.
You've already got it. Says all unspent. And then it says in unencumbered.
Yeah, I just don't like the word unencumbered.
Yeah,
let's let Betty respond to that just from the official finance terminology, which is what we're trying to.
We refer to encumbrances as those items, for instance, where we've issued a purchase order. We actually haven't received the good or service for that purchase order. We haven't paid for it. But in order to track what we have appropriation authority for, what we've spent, what's encumbered, then what do you have left? So when we say unencumbered, it's neither spent nor is there an active purchase order or contract sitting out there to be expended. So you're looking not just in cash, but what have we promised to pay? What do we expect to buy? As well as what we've already spent. And the difference is your unexpended, unencumbered balance.
So the landscaping, which is going to come last in a big project, we might not have even chosen the contractor yet or something like that, and so that would be unencumbered, even though we're going to do it, and it's not going to be spent on something else. It just hasn't had the details.
It's money that's been budgeted and appropriated, though, which is the key for the board. Mm-hmm.
If you've issued the purchase order to the vendor who will be doing the work,
then it would be encumbered.
That's encumbered.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I would think. If you started a construction project that you contract, that would be encumbered dollars too.
The whole thing.
So that's why I don't like the use of the word unencumbered in here. So if we could remove that just to make it more user friendly.
But that's the issue, though, in a lot of these projects is that we may have encumbered the money, but then they have to come back to the board and get it appropriated in order to pay the bill. And if it carries over from one fiscal year to the next, what this system would do, if it's unspent and unencumbered or encumbered, it would be reappropriated as part of the budget process for the next fiscal year. So there would not be this running to the board to get money appropriated to pay a bill for a project that the board's already approved, appropriated the appropriate amount of money for. So it carries over the funds that you've identified and appropriated from one fiscal year will be reappropriated as part of the budget process for the next fiscal year if they've been unspent, unencumbered, or encumbered.
If it applies to it seems to me by putting the unencumbered in here, you're implying that encumbered funds would not be included. And that to me is problematic because it would put you in a position just where you said, where you've encumbered it. You signed a you've got a purchase order out, and you're not. This policy doesn't cover it.
I think the budget lingo, the unspent, I think is trying to get at the encumbered money that hasn't been spent yet, and then the unencumbered money that hasn't been encumbered would also be covered. So I think that's the language. I agree to laymen, including me, it's confusing, but to the budget people, it makes sense.
And the unspent category, an unspent appropriation, a purchase order that's been issued but hasn't been paid would fall into that category. Is that what you're saying?
So that the board does not have to give permission again to spend what you've already said, yes, we want this library built, and you have certain contracts to get the library built, that money moves forward, it doesn't have to come back for yet another approval.
It will be appropriated as part of your annual appropriation process, but not in a special appropriation that will be tagged like today.
Okay.
In other words, all the contracts don't go out at one time. You have a series coming out during the life of the project. And so is those that have already gone out are spent are encumbered. Those that have not gone out yet are unencumbered, but will, in the life of the contract, be done.
Appropriated right. For that purpose.
Right.
Yeah.
I did have
this, I'm okay with this
I
part,
have one
I
further
think.
Question, and that's whether or not we want to limit this to active capital projects. I'd use that term loosely, but in other words, projects that have actually been started.
Have a contract issued on them. As opposed to something else.
I would call
else.
Them active in some sense. So that the things that have not been started at all, and for which there is no commitment, I think, for example, the Y appropriation falls into that category, that those things would be identified every year separately.
I think that's more
That's what I would – the other thing I'd like to do, since we can't do away with the unencumbered language is to maybe have a separate category of those projects that fall into this in our quarterly reporting, if you will, and in our annual CIP reporting, if they could clearly be identified as these are the projects that are under ministerial authorization, if you will, and not requiring any further appropriations from the board. That will just sort of isolate it and bring it out so that we can pay attention to that particular list rather than looking through the entire list of all the projects and see.
So I guess the concept is if a project hasn't started by the end of the fiscal year, then we would bring it back to you for appropriation.
To me, that
what you're saying?
That makes some sense. Because you are at that point still in a position where you haven't signed a contract, you haven't committed to the project, and we do want to, I think, annually look at those projects that might have been on the list, and we might have even appropriated money for them, but they did not get going. We have no commitment on those projects at the point we're making a decision on appropriations, and we'd have the opportunity to judge those projects like we judge the other projects that might be on the list to give them scrutiny and relative weight. And
yeah, well, I think that's very appropriate, Dennis, because, I keep going back to the Crozier Library. I mean, that had been on the list and approved many, many times, and each year we said, well, we don't really have the money to do it, so that we're going to put it off, put it out into the out years. And
however,
like
in that circumstance, under your suggestion, we wouldn't bring that to you because we had spent money all along for design and did some site work to put a parking lot in and so forth.
But all separate appropriations to do that. They were
no, it was all part. It was all part of the approval of the library project. The main thing we're trying to get away from is this: you've authorized the project to move forward. It's moving forward, and we have to keep coming back to you and reappropriate money as if it's a larger project, frankly, from year to year. But if it hasn't started at all, then there's certainly not going to be that same issue, and it does give you an extra opportunity. I would look to staff to say, does that create any? I think it's an extra step, but it may be a prudent step for you to, in case you decide, if this project hasn't started yet and we put it in there at the beginning of the year, we might want to question whether it really was needed or something. But
I think we should view those projects that have not started in a different way. That's because we can make a judgment not to go forward with those projects at that time, based upon financial conditions, circumstances, and other projects that may have come in the door in the interim.
So just to make sure I understand what you're asking for, say at this time of the year, which is July, you would like us to bring back, even though we've already just finished the whole budget process with you on CIP where we were looking at those, we'd bring back any project that we see on the books that has an appropriated amount but nothing has occurred on it. So we would say, here's five projects that potentially you want to deobligate or you want to at least be aware of that have not started and talk about those. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, they're projects for which nothing has been spent yet. And we have no obligations, contractual obligations.
Would the Seminole Trail Fire Station be an example of something like that when we decided in May that we wanted to do it? I mean, I'd like to consider that would be one where we've appropriated the money and it's in design and needs to go. So I'm just trying to wrap my brain around what you're saying by trying to think of an example.
Well, there aren't many projects for which that was kind of unusual because of the late date at which it was approved. But there aren't many projects that get approved that are actually going forward in that year, in a near term for which you haven't spent any money. We may have already spent money on that.
No expenditure already would be the criteria for this
right.
suggestion.
We haven't signed a contract.
No design, no nothing.
No,
okay.
And we haven't spent any money.
But yet. In that case, we probably wouldn't have appropriated money for it anyway.
But there are, you're right. She said there's probably five projects that fall into that category.
Well, we can see it.
Okay, I'm not sure what's going on.
I think that you
Madam and Chair,
let me ask a question.
Madam Chair, let me
We approve a project. We tell them that we want to go forward, but then before we actually start the project, we have to come back in here and get it approved again. They say, okay, yeah, we do want to go ahead with that today.
During the past fiscal year, we approved it last year, and we didn't spend any money. We didn't sign any contracts. We haven't made a financial commitment.
That was my question. I thought it sounded like mid-year decisions of looking at it over again. Looking at the project again before we got started.
This is only.
We haven't spent any money on a contract or anything. We ought to have that identified. So we actually do have a decision as to whether or not we want to go forward with
that.
That's
the beginning of each year.
Yeah.
I think what Tom had suggested earlier, Mr. Rooker, was that during the budget process, there would be a very transparent report about the status of projects. I think you're going to see in April or February, March, and April, what projects haven't been started yet. And in fact, at that point in time, if the board had concerns about spending that money, you could have a reconsideration of whether or not those projects go forward. But that might be the more appropriate time to have that discussion rather than having it in July.
I would be fine with that, as long as those projects get separately identified and put on a separate list.
Yeah.
I think that's the best time. Again, it may be that we're not going to spend the money till June for some reason, like at school's got to
wait till the kids get out
and so forth. But we'll make sure that that's part of this report, so you can make a informed decision at that point, not when we get to this end of the year thing.
Where would projects that are further out that are not scheduled to start in the current year fall into this system?
Because they don't get appropriated.
We have things in our CIP five-year plan. The school system uses the words placeholders. They put placeholders in for elementary schools and things like that. I mean, what where would that fall into this category?
Every year, they're subject for you all not leaving them in the budget. We're talking about only projects that have been authorized for spending. So those other projects in out years, we never appropriate the money until the year.
They're just in a long-range plan. It's not something that's been done. So we do that.
5-year budget.
Yeah, but it's been approved in our CIP. I just want to make sure that's not going to fall into this category.
No, it's approved in a long-range plan.
These only touch things for which we've actually appropriated money.
And we only do that on an annual basis.
So when we've made the decision and told the county executive that he has the right to sign the contract, those are the ones you're talking about, that we would finish the project and send them on through.
Okay,
with number one. Do we need a consensus on, is there anybody who's not okay with number one before we move off of that?
With the qualifications that we've figured out here.
Number two.
Okay, thank you very much. The second one is to streamline the appropriation process for the school divisions of donations, grants, and fundraising results. Someone mentioned, I think Ann, you mentioned when we did the fiscal year 12 budget amendment that we just did, there were some school projects or some school donations included in that amendment. Their current process is the school board approves the receipt of individual donations, grants, and fundraising results on a monthly basis throughout the year. So as Target or as a PTO provides money, they approve the receipt of it 1 month, and then the next month it comes to the Board of Supervisors as part of all these. You get an appropriation pretty much every single month, and it includes specific donations. For example, the one on 12 that you just approved had a $48 donation in it. So you're actually approving item by item very, very small donations to be received.
In the interest of time, is there anybody that opposes this? Or has it any
I don't have a problem with small donations. What I do have a problem with is stimulus money, as an example, millions of dollars flowed through the school system through the stimulus project that was thrown into this category of self-sustaining funds, this multi-million dollar hodgepodge of dollars, which is originally set up, I think, to cover cafeteria funds and things like that. And quite honestly, I don't trust the accounting of the school system. I don't trust them, and I'm not willing to give them any latitude that does not have to go through this board for approval, because this is an ongoing problem with me. I've had it for years, and I've asked them for information. They've never provided that information to us. When you do ask them for information, it takes months to get it from them. I don't want to encumber the system with a $48 contribution from a PTO, but I'm not willing to give them multi-million-dollar authority.
This does not give a multi-million dollar authority. Basically, what this does is it just sets up, I want to almost say like a catcher's mitt, for 17,000 in donations. They usually receive about 90,000 a year in donations. So we can say the first quarter, we're going to give you the authority. We assume you're going to get donations this year. We're going to set up a catcher's mitt that you're going to be able to bring 17,005 in donations in. We're authorizing that. We recognize that that will probably occur this year. And then we would have a small amount for grants and a small amount for what they call increases to their activity funds. We would just make those as the catcher's mitts that they would come in. We'd monitor through our AA system what amounts come into those categories. And at the point that category gets filled up, then we would ask you for another appropriation to say, yes, they received 17,000 in donations. Now we'd like to give them the authority to receive 17 more. That's kind of how we see this versus those individual $48, $250.
So you're setting it up like a petty cash for some businesses. But so when they reapply for the $17,000 additional dollars, will there be an accounting of where the $17,000 went from the previous?
Yes.
It makes sense. In the middle of this thing, it says the initial request would be to appropriate $17,500 in anticipated school division donations, $50,000 in anticipated school division grants, and $12,500 in increases to the school division activity funds.
Cumulative until you couldn't get $10,000, $50,000.
They can't put a $1 million grant into there.
But then there's an accounting.
Only appropriating that much. So anything beyond that, we'd have to come back and
get
your authority.
Now, my stupid question is: are we transferring $17,550 and $12,500 to their account? No, it's just creating a hole in which to put the money when it comes in.
You're just authorizing it.
So when they get it, they can spend it.
That's correct.
Only up to $17,500 on donations, as an example.
All right. It's a bucket.
There are lots of revenues that you appropriate that you anticipate you're going to receive. We don't actually have them in the bank. And what this does is simply say we're anticipating that these amounts of monies are going to be received in donations, grants, or from school activity funds, and you're appropriating that money, so it's legal for them to expend it, but this is a safe amount that staff feels is going to actually be received, so it has no negative financial impact on the county because it's money that's going to be received, and you're just appropriating it in anticipation rather than after the fact.
And then they'll report how they spend it, which was somebody else's question.
Yeah, okay. That was the other thing.
I would like to get this reported
on a more often basis than just mixed into some finance quarterly.
We could provide you with the school board's approval of all those donations. There's a record of that anyways, and we can provide that to you on a periodic basis. You can get it from there.
And I want to make sure that those three amounts there in grants, that is total amount for a quarter, right? Is that what
you're
saying?
That's correct. It's really when you appropriate, it's a total amount for the year, and then we look at it again every quarter. If they do not receive
if they got a grant for more than $50,000 in
you'll
one year, or if they got two grants, one was 50.
As soon as it exceeds that amount, you'll see
it. Has to come back to you.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just, to me, it's a small way. It helps us. We have about 56. We have to write these very small descriptions when they are done for the school division. Then we have to rewrite them in OMB because they write them in a little bit different way for the school. So it's a lot of work that our OMB staff has to redo. That's being done by one office and another, and then
can
to
we
you.
Just ask them to write it the right way to begin with, and then we won't have to worry about that?
It's just a different audience, you know. It's a different audience, and so anyway, it's been a lot of work on very small amounts. Is basically what I'm saying. We think this is a better best practices on a way to do it.
I appreciate the very strategic placement of this recommendation after the 18 items in the previous agenda item. I detailed it in explicit detail.
It looks like
detail,
that was deliberate, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It wasn't, but that's true. But it did give you an example. It did provide an example to you of what you see every single month in review. And there's never been an instance that I recall since I've been here that anyone has said, no, we don't want that donation. That you haven't turned it down.
I mean, the fact is we want to encourage people to donate to schools to deal with the issues that they identify through their children at the schools that they attend. We want to encourage schools to apply for grants to help out in the funding. They have a $100 million budget, and for us to be dealing with these small amounts and dribbles in appropriations that they've raised, to me, doesn't make any sense.
I think one thing that would be respectful of the people, the families particularly, who do and businesses who make the donations would just be to have those reported, because I never see them coming from the school board in the newspaper or anything like that, which has always surprised me.
I was thinking
that to have for information on the agenda to have a report, it doesn't, you know, people who don't have time to read it don't have time to read it, but at least it would be out there officially that these people had made these contributions.
Are you comfortable with us just putting the school report for information on your consent agenda rather than rewriting? Because
I don't want
we'll
you to rewrite
the,
anything. Yeah. I'm happy to just see a list.
I would suggest too that I think schools does thank the people that make donations. We're not seeing it. We're just appropriating, you know, we're just doing an appropriation of funds that they've already raised. And they have a $100 million budget, and we have an elected school board, which really has that budget within their purview. And they do thank these people.
I'm sure they send them thank you notes. I've just never seen one in the newspaper or anything like that.
Those records are available for the public. If you're asking for an extra convenience, we can do that. But it is available.
I'll do a better job of finding them then. Thank you. All right. So we're set on number two. Any other questions on number two? All right. Let's go on to number three.
The third process improvement that we recommend is to allow the county executive or to give authorization to the county executive to be able to do very small budget transfers within the same fund. Our current process is any transfer, irrespective of the dollar amount, requires Board of Supervisors approval. And one example that just comes to mind for me is the Sheriff's Department has picked up the service of doing some fingerprinting services. The police department had been doing some of those services. They wished to transfer $3,000 to help support the sheriff's office to do that service. So the service was still being done, but it was a very small transaction. This would be the type of a transaction that you would give the authority to the county executive to say, you know, he has the authority to move a small amount like that from one department to another. Right now, the way we appropriate and the way we set our budgets up, that authority could not happen until it came to you in a report. So we're talking about very small movements between departments and just those administrative movements that occur sometimes in a, well, often occur in a budget such as ours.
Small movements of 3,000 is a lot different from a small movement of 50,000.
Yeah, the 50,000 is the maximum. We did that as a maximum amount on the fund for the whole year. So basically what we're saying, that you would give the authority to the county executive at the beginning of the year as part of your appropriations. You'll be appropriating a $311 million budget, and you'll be saying to the county executive, in this big budget, up to $50,000 per fund for the whole year, you have some authority to do those types of transfers. Any transfer that he wants the board's guidance and approval on, he would bring directly to you, but this would just be for those smaller administrative movements. It's basically, the whole authority for a fund would be 0.02%. So it's like 1/50th of 1% of your budget. It's a very small amount, and that would be the cap on it, the overall cap.
Highlight the funds. You say 50,000 per fund. So is public safety is a fund and general administration is a fund? Are we talking about local government is a fund?
Your general fund is a fund, which is like $222 million.
Okay. So it was a big pie instead. Okay.
So we're not talking about each individual line item could be moved?
No, we're not, sir. Okay. Mm-mm.
What Dwayne raised there, the language is a little bit unclear that we're talking about an annual cap of $50,000 because it says, you know, up to 50,000 per classification or department on any unencumbered balance or portions thereof from one classification or expenditure department to another within the same fund. I don't see anywhere in here where it says
I think where it's unclear is it says fiscal year 13 budget. So basically why you give that authorization each year to the county executive. So that year, that's their year, his year authorization.
I think we want to make that clear.
It's clear that it's an annual cap authorization.
Correct.
Right.
Then I'm fine with
and
it.
And that's how we've seen it.
The only other thing that I would add to that would be a recap at some period in time saying, okay, this was what was done, just so that we can just kind of.
Every quarter, it'll be in the financial report. So any change that I made, it'll say adjustments made by the county executive. Okay. Be a part of your normal report on a quarterly basis.
And that'll be clearly identified as such, right?
We'll break it down specifically.
And some of us, like me, would probably need a little hand-holding, and you could go over that for a few minutes when we do it the first time. So we'll
the first quarterly report, we'll lay that out and see if you have questions on it.
And this resolution that's in the board package just deals with this fiscal year because it's anticipated that each year in the appropriation resolution, you would reauthorize this, or if it's not working, stop it.
That's what makes it annual, but I agree, Dennis, with the description. That's the clarity that we want to bring.
The other two items, are they annual too?
No.
No.
The
multi-year on capital.
Capital.
So, but every year when you approve the budget resolution, that language will be there. So yeah. It's a point you could raise a question on it. Every year you'll have to approve that.
We can, anything's up 12 months of the year.
I just summarize the benefits that we saw. We did a lot of work on this with our best practices review of other jurisdictions, and this is fairly common that some authorization is provided. Some is much more lenient than this in other governments, and some are more restricted to a line item within a budget. We think it's going to improve some efficiency as well as these other improvements, and can help reallocate some staff work on some of these descriptions to higher value work. It'll allow for greater flexibility if there's an emergency movement of funding that might need to be made. And transparency will continue through our quarterly financial reports.
I think we're okay with it. I think just clear some of those items up, as Dennis pointed out, and I think we're fine.
Good.
We have under recommendations what we would recommend that you approve. And to Dennis's point, all you would be authorizing is FY13 for that $50,000 amount. So you're not authorizing anymore.
Correct.
So if you support all those, they are laid out in the recommendation.
Where I got confused where it says per classification or department, and that felt like Parks and Rec, and you know each time in
which
town
it looks
like $3 million by the time you put it all together.
Right.
Is your plan to kind of rewrite this and bring it back to us, or do you want us to approve it today and hope that you rewrite it the way we want it?
Well, our intent was for you to approve it today. Obviously, we're not even asking for the CIP authority until next year. The resolution you have in this packet on number 3 is the same way it's going to look in the future in terms of an action.
Well, if you took the resolution component and you took out the words per classification or department and it just said up to $50,000, and you said in total.
So I'm not sure that we're having a meeting of the minds on what's being proposed here, but the resolution as drafted, as I understood the resolution, would allow up to a $50,000 change in any department's budget, and not a cumulative $50,000 among all budgets. So if there was a $50,000 change in the police department budget, that would be permitted, and there could be a separate $50,000 change in the Parks and Rec budget.
Well, I think
that's completely opposite from what we've been talking about for the last 15 minutes.
Let's get it clear then. Yeah. That's not what we're proposing. That would be 50,000 times every department.
It's
50,000 in
the total.
But that's
the way the resolution looks. And that was what I was opposed to.
Let me suggest this. We got consensus from you all. I think we're all on the same page about it. We definitely are not trying to do that. And if there was some confusion, we will bring this back to you next month on the consent agenda. And may even actually incorporate some language in our finance policies that say the board will consider each year as a part of budget adoption the authorization to the county executive to do X, Y, and Z. I think that may be a good way to get in our policies, too. So we appreciate the input and thoughts on this and your willingness to move forward on. This is going to save our staff a tremendous amount of time, particularly the first two. And I think you know that by the fat packet we're getting ready to talk about in the next public hearing. But appreciate the support, and we'll bring something back to you next month.
Good, thank you.
The first two are approved.
Then we will move on to the public hearing for the fiscal year 13 budget amendment and appropriations. That's item 16 on the budget, and Lori will help us with that.
Okay, just as we talked about for our first one, for fiscal year 12's budget, Virginia Code requires the county to hold this public hearing to amend the budget if the total amount of funds appropriated exceeds 1% of the expenditures. The total of the appropriations for the fiscal year 13 budget outlined in this executive summary is $24.98 million and consists of 21 appropriations, two of which were approved by the board on June 6. The additional 19 requests for your considerations are included in Attachment A. Just to point out to you, half of these, $12.5 million, are for the CIP appropriations that are just moving forward on the fiscal year, as we had discussed earlier. This budget amendment also includes the appropriations associated with the VRS changes that you've previously approved and the creation of the OFD Internal Service Fund. So those are the larger items in these appropriations. Today, staff's requesting that after the public hearing, the board approves this budget amendment as well as the additional appropriations in Attachment A. Thank you.
Other questions for Lori?
I just had one question under one of the items under Attachment A, the $235,800-some-odd for landscaping of Meadow Creek Parkway. This is on page
six, it looks
six,
like.
Yeah, at the very top of page six.
Reappropriate.
Is that something we've just been talking about? Is this money that's already been expended or encumbered? What I'm trying to decide on, I mean, I travel that road every day, and it was landscaped at one point in time. Nobody's mowed it since it's been out there, but that's a
long section that never got planted that I was looking at with a frowny face the other day, too. So
well,
that's the other thing
I was wondering about, because I thought what we were going to do is we turned that linear park over to the city, and why wouldn't this be their responsibility to take it? I mean, didn't we give that land to
David
the city?
David Benish is here. David Benish may be the best one to answer that, but
I mean, we did dedicate that was one of the hang-ups for getting it.
Not sure he's the best one to answer, but I think he probably is.
I'll probably have to check with Jack Kelsey and OFD. There was some landscaping that was done as part of the VDOT project. There are some gaps in the area that it was thought that there'd be some enhanced landscaping, particularly down at the terminus point near Melbourne Avenue. There's an area there that I believe was felt needed to be landscaped. So this money was to augment and enhance what VDOT was going to provide as part of the project. I will have to check with Jack on the status of that, and I believe the thought process is that that work would be done once the work is completed on the city section. But I think
not for the hillsides and stuff north of the bridge, which
yeah,
is what
no,
I'm
there,
particularly interested
strategically,
in.
Strategically, there were other areas to augment what was there. I called that one area in particular was one that was looked at. There's a high power line there, but there's also some space to do some landscaping as you turn into the county portion.
So this is not something that's been spent or anything at this point, nor is we contracted with someone to do it.
I don't believe we have that. I think that's what Jack.
I can answer that. This basically has been that reserve that has been held to complete the design and the construction of those, I guess, gap areas. Mm-hmm. So there's no obligation. There's no commitment. It's actually work that we would contract, you know, I guess potentially this fall or at the appropriate time to design.
Have we transferred the title to that property to the city?
The VDOT has, and it's going to be ongoing, not project costs, but on an ongoing basis. It's a maintenance responsibility for them. The distinction is this is a project cost. It just hasn't been, we haven't engaged yet in getting the work done. But the city has taken title from VDOT. It's like a city park now for them to maintain going forward. But this is completion of the project, if you will, and this money just hasn't been allocated correct. Specifically by
but
contract
this is
yet.
The tail end of the secondary road funds account, as opposed to.
Well,
but I mean,
David would need to answer that. But she said that this is the tail end of secondary road funds. This is in our CIP. Yeah. So this is local dollars we committed to the project.
Dollars. So it could be spent on other items is what I'm saying. Yes. And based on what we're going to approve at the next meeting, we wouldn't see this as an appropriation now.
No, it's before you now to appropriate.
Right. Okay, so this is the first time it's been out before us. So we would still see that because it hadn't been previously appropriated as part of the medical.
It's part of a project that's nearing completion, though. I mean, so we wouldn't have brought it back to you because that project is it's an item in a project budget that's not closed out yet. So it wouldn't come back to you to consider reappropriating under the policy we just adopted.
Again, to clarify, this is an example of a project that does not have money that has been encumbered but has been previously approved and appropriated by the board. And so in the new process, that would show up in a report as work that, you know, is still in the future in the forecast.
You'd have seen this in March and April, yeah. And you could ask the questions at that point if you wanted to change it. But obviously, you could do it now. This action's before you. But I think the key is this was part of the project and seen as an obligation of completing the project. Doesn't mean that the board at any time couldn't change that, but that's what this is about.
Well, the project looks complete right now, yeah. And I'm trying to figure out.
Well, except for the landscaping, which looks awful.
You can buy a lot of landscaping for $235,000.
And get it installed is the labor, the expensive part.
Well, would you all like us to come back on what the plans are, how we're planning to apply the landscaping, and what this money's going to be done?
I think it'd be helpful to see how this fits into the overall plan, what has been done and what is left undone according to our original landscaping proposal. I don't know the extent to which we have, in effect, we have presented that plan to the city, and that's been an overall part of the joint project that's been looked at. The idea was to create a linear park, and this has been going on so long, I'm not sure exactly. Sure. You know, did we take this landscaping plan to the city and present it to them, and they matched up something comparable so that the entire project would have a certain look and feel? I think that's probably what has taken place here, but it's so many years have passed. It would be good to bring it back. And
this is where Jack Kelsey probably does know the details because he's worked through that. But we can get you a report on that. If you want to, question is whether you want to not appropriate this money at this time.
I would say that. I would like to pull it from the
appropriations. So we won't authorize the expenditure of these funds until you see that report.
I think it'd be helpful.
Okay, so we
understand.
We can remove that $235,000 and bring it back next month with a report.
It may be just that it's the season, and that's why nothing has been done, because the season is not appropriate to do anything.
Absolutely.
And then in the fall, we'll see something.
The other thing I'd like
different.
To know is what else could that money be spent on, you know, as part of your report? I mean, it may be that we can only spend it for this, then it's a moot point. But
yeah, I mean, again, that becomes a different issue. But first of all, is there a plan on how to spend it? What's it going to do based on the original project? We'll bring that back next month, and if after the hearing you have no other issues, we'll just take that amount out of the approval.
The questions for Laura. All right, I'm going to open the public hearing. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to address us on the fiscal year 2013 budget amendment and appropriations? And here comes someone.
Good morning, Jeff Warner with Piedmont Environmental Council. Rex Linville, who does PEC's land conservation work in Albemarle. He's out of town. He's certainly much more qualified to talk about easements and their benefits than I am, but he did ask me to thank you all for this allocation, which is in this the allocation to the ACE fund, though we continue to look for the day when you all return full funding to that program. It is a very important program. As you know, PEC operates in a 9-county region between here and Loudoun County, and we're in our 40th year, and we're celebrating. We're close to 350,000 acres in easement in that region, and that is one of the largest concentrations of privately protected land in the country. And unfortunately, Fauquier County is a little bit ahead of Albemarle, so we still have some work to do. But just for some numbers, overall, it's over 85,700 acres in conservation easement, again, private conservation easements in Albemarle County. The ACE Fund has provided funds for about 7,500 acres of those. And out of that 85